Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Love Sport.
This is the Transfer Rumour Mill, not with Johnny Borrow, with me, Matt Beadle. Johnny is away yet again for another week. Too busy talking on Drive is Johnny, so I've taken his place today, and we have the news that everybody already knows about Harry Maguire and the fact that he has agreed a deal in principle to sign for Manchester United. £80 million for a centre-back in Harry Maguire. It makes him the world's most expensive defender ever. Of course, we know Liverpool paid £75 million for Virgil van Dijk a couple of seasons ago, but this will make Harry Maguire also the 11th most expensive player of all time. Who would have thought it? A young lad with a big old head from Sheffield, now playing for one of the biggest clubs in the world after spells with Sheffield United, Hull, Wigan and Leicester. Of course, people forget about that Wigan loan spell, don't they? He went to Hull from Sheffield United, a big signing at the time, but didn't quite integrate into that setup at Hull. Went on loan to Wigan just to learn his craft slightly, and then became a regular in the Premier League for Hull. And what's interesting is that Harry Maguire only became a Premier League regular at the age of 23. He's now 26. So in the space of 3 years, Harry Maguire has commanded an £80 million fee. Of course, we can't really judge transfer fees anymore because the market is utterly insane. So when people say, oh my word, you're paying £80 million for Harry Maguire, if he ends up being the man in the middle of that Man United defence who guarantees them silverware, who guarantees them Champions League football, at the end of the season, no one's going to care about that fee. He also becomes one of seven central defenders on the books at United, joining Victor Lindelof, Eric Bailly, Phil Jones, Chris Smalling, Marcus Rojo and Axel Tuanzebe. Of course, Eric Bailly is out for 4 months or so now. Tuanzebe still just 21 and linked with another loan move. Of course, he was on loan at Aston Villa last season. Potentially, he might be going to Newcastle. But to talk more about that, to talk more about Paulo Dybala and anybody else that might come in to Manchester United, I'm delighted to say we've got sports presenter and online personality, David Akola, on the line. How are you doing, David?
Real good, thanks. How are you doing?
Yeah, very, very well, thank you. Harry Maguire, Man United, 80 million. It looks like it's done. What do you think?
Hey, listen, hopefully it's really done this time. You know, we had it reported a couple of weeks back that it was done, but hopefully the deal is fully over. Listen, Man United need a centre-back. We all know Man United needed a centre-back for a long time. Jose knew it last season. Man United didn't want to spend £60 million on him. And now it costs £20 million more. It happens. Do you know what I mean? The player's on sale. Fans on sale at the shop. They missed the sale. You've got to pay the $4. And it's £80 million. It's good for what we need.
So the fact that it's £80 million, David, I'd love to know your thoughts on this, because apparently Leicester wanted or were holding out for £90-95 million. Man United bid £70 million. They didn't want to go higher, but they've met somewhere in the middle. Now, is this good business from Man United, or have they had the proverbial pants being pulled down by Leicester here?
Listen, you know when you need something, you need it. Like, Man United need a centre-back, and they need a centre-back that's proven in the Premier League. The only other person I would have taken is Koulibaly, but he hasn't been proven in the Premier League as well. So, you know, I wouldn't say Man United have had their pants pulled down. Leicester are in a position where they don't really have to sell. So somebody has to pay over the odds. If you want to buy something, I said this before, if somebody wants to buy something and that's not for sale, they've got to pay more than, in essence, it's worth, because you have to buy that from the person that doesn't want to sell anything. If I've got one pizza left at home and no one's looking to go out, I've got one in the freezer, it's like, well, it's not, I'm not going to charge you. It costs an island, Iceland, because we're not in Iceland right now and you need the pizza, you're hungry. So Leicester, those Man United are in a position where they need a central defender, and they're not in a position where they actually need the money, in essence. So, you know, the price is going to go up, supply and demand.
David, David, I don't think I've ever heard a transfer analogy like that with regards to a pizza. And of course, you can get a slab of pizza, I suppose, which is a nice link into the fact that we've got Slabhead coming to Man United. But this is a guy who's 26 as well. I just made the point of the fact that he was only a Premier League regular at the age of 23. So in 3 years, we've seen someone who moved to Hull for what you'd probably describe as pittance now in the current market, skyrocket to £80 million. He's the 11th most expensive player of all time, the most expensive defender of all time.
Yeah, look. Let's not make any jokes about it. It's a lot of money, in figuratively, in terms of a nominal number. Of course, it's a huge amount of money. But you know, like I said, the reason why I use the pizza analogy, because I've done it before at uni. Do you know what I mean? I saw one of those little Chicago towns. Other pizzas are available, but one of those little Chicago town pizzas for probably like 15 quid. It was the middle of the night. No one wanted to go anywhere. And I had pizzas in my room, and I was like, listen, well, not in my room, in my freezer. And I was like, yeah, listen, if you don't want something to eat, you can buy one of those. But in all honesty, it's like, yes, I agree 110%. It's a lot of money, yeah. But sometimes us fans, we get too hooked up on the amount of money that it is, or how much how much it costs. When in reality, it's the question is he going to be fit for purpose? Is he better than what we currently have? Yes, all of those questions. And like I said, if somebody doesn't have to sell, you've got to buy it from them at that rate. That's higher than what you would usually normally go for.
Absolutely, and you're right in the sense that he's one of the best defenders in the Premier League. And speaking of who is already on the books at United, you've got Victor Lindelof, you've got Eric Bailly, Phil Jones, Chris Smalling, Marcos Rojo, Axel Tuanzebe, who's returned on loan from Aston Villa. I'm presuming you're sniggering at Marcos Rojo. Was that what you were sniggering at?
Yeah, Marcos Rojo. The fact that I knew that the list was going to continue, that it was like quite a huge number of defenders. Somebody's going to have to go there. Like it's too many. That's why I was laughing, because I was thinking we've got a lot of players. People, I think the situation at Man United right now, or what's been current, is that we haven't been able to move players on, and I think someone or a couple are going to have to go.
Well, who is your call for going here? I'm just going to read out some stats to you on Harry Maguire, and the fact that pretty much for aerial duels won, just general tackles and duels won, clearances, passes, he's basically surpassed Lindelof, Smalling, Jones and Bailly from last season. The only one where he falls foul is the aerial duels, which is where Chris Smalling was superior. But he's quite clearly the better player on paper, statistically. And I know we love to live by stats now, but if you could pick his partner next season and you'd like to think you're spending £80 million for someone that he's going to be the number one centre-back, who's the number two?
His partner would be Victor Lindelof, to be honest with you. That's who I'd strongly go with. I'd go with Victor Lindelof. He's a very well trusted central defender. He just hasn't got the height about him, which is why it would be a fantastic pairing to have someone like Maguire there to get rid of all the balls in the air. I know you mentioned Smalling beat him on aerial duels, which is very, very interesting from that perspective. Actually, Smalling's really, really good in the air, but with the ball at his feet, it's absolutely shocking, in my honest opinion. So it would be him who would be going if it was down to me. Out of that list, it would be out of him or Marcos Rojo. It would be out of the door. I think Marcos Rojo's had more days injured than fit at Manchester United. And, we can't have that.
Absolutely not. Moving on from Harry Maguire, because you'd like to think medical, once that's completed, he will be unveiled. So Harry Maguire, Aaron Wan-Bissaka and Daniel James coming into the club already this summer. There has been talk again surfacing of Ivan Rakitic from Barcelona. He's another name mentioned. Bruno Fernandes has apparently talked his way out of Sporting Lisbon now and is on his way to England to make that move. Will it be United? Will it be Spurs? Would you like to see either of those at Old Trafford next season?
I'd love to see Bruno. I'd absolutely love to see Bruno. I think he's a player that we can get at a good price. And I think he is exactly what Manchester United needs in the centre of the park, especially with an aging Matic at the moment. I think it would be absolute quality if we had somebody like a Bruno Fernandes. And plus, what it also does is just relieve the strain and the stress off only having Paul Pogba as a creative within that position. If Paul doesn't create, then it's like, who is actually making things tick from the centre of the park? And so I think it'll be an incredible addition to what we've got currently at Manchester United. And even Ivan Rakitic, obviously he's played at the top level with Barcelona, so he would be good, but I would prefer a Bruno, to be honest with you.
You mentioned Paul Pogba there as well, David. In your opinion, is he going to be a United player next season?
Look, I love this because it's like we can flick through the archives. I hit you guys up early.
Come on, give it to us.
In the transfer window. And I said it to you. I said to you guys, you know, and I said it to Berlin show, and I was like, listen, you lot, are you going to laugh at this? I can see Paul staying. And they were like, nah, there's no way. He said he was out. He said he wanted to do a challenge. United fans are not happy. I said, listen, I can see Paul staying without a shadow of a doubt. Listen, it happens. Like, players at some stage and at some point might want to leave, but that's a feeling. It's a feeling basis. You know, we all have emotions and we all have feelings. You know, if Manchester United show that they have ambition in the transfer market, if he feels the love back from fans, if he feels wanted and desired at the club, his feelings to leave and what a new challenge could simply change. And I think, you know, I think come the closing of the transfer window, Paul Pogba will still be a Manchester United player, 110%. Similar to the situation, like I said before, when it came to Harry Maguire. Like, Man United don't need to sell. Man United don't need the money. They're not in a position where Man United are, you know what I mean, are scraping around looking for cash here. Ed Woodward, as we all know, is the big cash man. He's able to generate huge amount of money for the club, even though we haven't been doing pretty well footballing wise. And so Manchester United are not in a financial position where they need to sell him. So if somebody's going to want to buy Paul Pogba, it's going to cost more than what you consider the market value to be. And to be honest, nobody has that kind of money, you know?
No, absolutely. And I'd like to think that you did hear it first on Love Sport, because David Alorca was the man who broke it on the Bell and Sperling show that Paul Pogba would be staying at United. He certainly does look happy in training. Someone who we've not seen looking particularly happy or really seen at all, hasn't played really in the last few games of pre-season, is Romelu Lukaku. Just quickly on that, David, and that swap deal with Dybala. Would you like to see that happen? Do you think it's going to happen?
Oh, listen. If it ends up happening, honestly, top quality deal. I can't even believe what's happening here. To be honest with you. I'm sitting here and I'm just, every day I'm refreshing the timeline. You know what I mean? I'm constantly just pulling down on Twitter on my phone, just thinking, oh man, please someone just say something, because it's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable deal. I think Manchester United are in a very strong position. Similar to, like I said, you know, Inter obviously wanted him, and Man United were like, well, to be honest with you, you don't have to sell him. Of course he's he might be surplus to requirements at the moment, but it's not something that we have to sell, so we're not going to give him a cut price. And then Juve coming out of nowhere. You know what I mean? Left out with this side, you know what? Dybala's out of it. The funny thing about it is they didn't even consider, like, having a conversation with Dybala first. They were like, nah, you can have him. He's out. You know what I mean? And that's what's hilarious about that turning of situation. And you know, supposedly, Dybala asked, you know, his fellow players on a WhatsApp group, I don't know how true this is, and Cristiano said, you must go to United, which, you know, I mean, you know, obviously Cristiano's setting up himself to be a, you know, footballing director when he retires at Manchester United. So so it's just a fantastic, I think it's an incredible deal for Manchester United. Like I said before, we're lacking some creative input, and it'll be amazing to have somebody like Dybala coming in. Supposedly, Mandzukic might come in with him as well, which is on top of that, just, you know, absolutely phenomenal.
Yep, some attacking prowess at Old Trafford if those two do arrive next season. David, thanks very much for your time, boss.
Anytime.
That was David Alorca, sports presenter and online personality, hoping that the Romelu Lukaku, Paulo Dybala swap deal does happen, and fully believing that Paul Pogba will be a Man United player next season. What for Bruno Fernandes, we don't know. But we do know about Moise Keane, who apparently was rejected by United earlier on this summer. Reports today have alluded to the fact that agent Mino Raiola, we've heard his name many times over this summer, offered the 19-year-old striker to United, but they decided against it. A player that they haven't decided against, however, is Hannibal Mabry, the 16-year-old Monaco midfielder who underwent a medical with United just yesterday. Now, this is an interesting one because the 16-year-old has been in negotiations with United for a while. He was omitted from Monaco's youth setup, and the reason for that was because of a long dispute with the club over his contract. Apparently, the family claim that Monaco reneged on a deal regarding a contract, and legal moves were threatened. But he is now looks like he's joining United for about £9 million. My concern with this one is that there was a lot of brouhaha when Paul Pogba initially signed for United the first time around from Le Havre. And you just hope that a 14-year-old who's having problems with his contract, as he was when that happened, isn't an ominous sign. Just a quick bit of news out of the Championship. We told you earlier that Middlesbrough had taken the lead at Luton through Ashley Fletcher. Since we gave you that news, Sonny Bradley and Martin Craney have scored for the home team. So Luton Town now leading 2-1 against Middlesbrough in that first Championship game of the season. We're going to be going to the Bundesliga next and talking all things Leroy Sané.
This is Love Sport.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Love Sport Radio. You're listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill. Me, Matt Beadle, with you through to 9 p.m. this evening for the Transfer Rumour Mill. We will have the Millwall Fan Show after that. Just a quick bit of score news. Football is back, of course, today. Luton hosting Middlesbrough at Kenilworth Road. They were 1-0 down. They're now 2-1 up. So a good start for the Hatters. We're going to head across to the Bundesliga now, and news today about Leroy Sané and this ongoing saga as to whether he's going to sign for Bayern Munich, whether he's going to stay at Manchester City. Guardiola, Pep Guardiola, of course, the Manchester City manager, has said he knows the rumours exist, but he wants players who want to stay. It would appear that the contract negotiations were close. He's now saying it's a bit different. To tell us more about that, we've got Ronan Murphy on the line, goal journalist and German football expert. Ronan, what is happening with Leroy Sané?
Yeah, kind of it seems to be that Man City are maybe resigning themselves to the fact that he is going to go to Bayern Munich, especially with the comments that Pep Guardiola made today that they had offered him a contract, but now it looks like it's further away. And the reason for that being further away is Bayern's prolonged interest in him. And the rumours come out in Germany yesterday that Bayern ended up denying was that he had reached an agreement with Bayern to join them. So it's not really a surprise maybe that they denied it, because they might be accused of tapping up Sané, because they haven't come to an agreement with Manchester City, and obviously that should be the first step in any transfer. So it seems to be that it's only a matter of time before this transfer will happen.
Were you surprised, Ronan? Because Niko Kovac obviously came out and seemed quite adamant that the deal was being done. Bayern then came out a day later and said, no, we don't say things like that. That was an error of judgment. Surely Kovac and the powers that be at Bayern would have had, you know, some sort of understanding as to what they should and shouldn't say in this situation.
Yeah, I think maybe that's the problem behind the scenes at Bayern, that they're not really on the same page, because there's so many voices trying to speak. You don't really get it in England in the Premier League, where you have the different members of the board coming out and talking about transfers. But the way it is in Germany, where the manager is only a coach and the people behind the scenes kind of decide the transfers more than anything, you get a lot of maybe mixed messages that you do get in Germany that maybe don't happen in England.
Now, with regards to the transfer itself and the fee, and we see fees inflated, and we've seen it today, Harry Maguire looks like he's going to Man United for £80 million. The two clubs here, Manchester City and Bayern Munich, are way apart, because we're led to believe that Bayern have bid £72 million, but City want in excess of £135 million for Sané.
Yeah, that £72 million works out around €80 million, which is what the Bayern chief executive, Uli Hoeneß, said that would be kind of the most they would spend, and it's their current transfer record. But I think maybe with Sané and the fact that Ribéry and Robin are gone, and the two wingers they have, Gnabry and Coman, are kind of injury-prone, maybe they might be more willing to up that bid and maybe move closer to Man City's £140 or £150 million, whatever figure it ends up as.
Do you see this happening yourself? I mean, do you think this is going to get over the line? We've not got long. August the 8th is obviously the deadline. In Germany, is it slightly longer?
Yeah, their transfer window goes on another month. But you would imagine it would happen in the next week, because Man City, I suppose, they need time to get in a replacement.
And in your opinion, obviously the way that Bayern play and the fact that both Ribery and Robben have gone, this does just seem like a natural fit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And he will be the kind of German superstar that they need. I suppose he's the biggest young name in German football at the moment. And Bayern are obviously seen maybe as the German club. So it's the ideal fit for both parties.
There has been whispers because of what's been happening in England with Wilf Zaha. He obviously thought he was going to Arsenal. Most people thought he was going to Arsenal. They've since signed Nicola Pepe. Wilf Zaha is now in limbo a little bit. There's been suggestions that he might be being looked at some of the top German clubs.
Yeah, I suppose he could be maybe a plan B or a plan C for Bayern if Sané weren't to work out. But I think the door is maybe closed at the moment with Borussia Dortmund because they've signed plenty of attacking players in the window, and it's probably more a striker that they're looking for rather than maybe the kind of wing option that Zaha would bring. So if Bayern miss out on Sané, maybe they might turn to Zaha, but at the moment they seem to be going all guns ahead for Sané.
Has the transfer situation at Bayern been as expected for you, Ronan? We've seen Lucas Hernandez has come in, Benjamin Pavard, who, you know, made a huge name for himself last season in the World Cup to the wider football audience, and Jan-Vita Arp obviously coming from Hamburger as well. Do you expect them to do more in addition to Sané?
Yeah, I would think so. They're talk about finding a new kind of number six, a defensive midfielder, and there's talk of Roca from Espanyol maybe could come in. Rodri from the new Man City midfielder was kind of their main target there, but again, they missed out, much like they did with Callum Hudson-Odoi in January. So it's probably been a disappointing couple of windows for Bayern as they plan this rebuild. They decided last summer not to spend any money, that they would do it all this season, but so far it's been disappointing. But obviously if they do sign Sané, that will change everything for them.
Absolutely. Now, another name that has come out today, Jean-Philippe Bamin. I'm presuming that is with a silent G. Have I pronounced that right?
You have, yeah. I was talking to Scottish football commentator Derek Ray. He's known by FIFA fans as their Champions League commentator, and he's also big in America. He does their Bundesliga coverage, and he says it's Bamin. It sounds a bit like Batman, but not T. It's probably the easiest way to remember it.
Okay. Well, of course, with Idrissa Gueye going to PSG this summer, Everton need that replacement. They're closing in on Bamin. Obviously, he's at Mainz at the moment. Do you see that one going over the line?
I have good news for you. It was announced there about 20 minutes ago, maybe.
Oh, there we go.
Confirming it. Yeah.
Breaking.
Yeah, that's confirmed, yeah. So okay. Everton have signed him on a 5 or 6 year deal, I think it is. So that's a big, that's a kind of big move for them, and he probably will be a good replacement for Idrissa Gueye, because they're similar sort of players. Maybe he's not as polished defensively, but he's equal kind of defensively, and he's good at breaking up attacks and that sort of thing in the Everton midfield.
So in terms of what you've seen of him at Mainz, you think that he would adapt to the Premier League?
Yeah, I think he's a big, strong player. He's pretty taller and maybe stronger than Gallagher was. So he shouldn't find the physicality a problem. But maybe he might, the speed might get to him at first, but once he adjusts to that, I think he should have no problems.
We've seen also Reece Oxford today. He's signed for Augsburg. Another young English player. I know that he's obviously had some time over there, but this is really a trend now, isn't it? It just seems to be continuing and going on and on and on. I'm sure you've been asked this question so many times, Ronan, but what was the catalyst for this? And do you see this happening now that German clubs are going to continue dipping in to the young English market for their next talent?
Yeah, I think the real reason for it is maybe that the English players themselves, they see that they can get a chance, they can get opportunities to break into the first team in America or in Germany and play Bundesliga games and they can play senior games, rather than maybe if they stuck around the Premier League club, they'd be with the reserves, they'd be in the under-23, like playing in the League Cup or now and then in the FA Cup. But the opportunities aren't really there for them in England, because English clubs can just turn around and maybe spend 20 million, 30 million on a player, and they don't really think about it. Whereas German clubs, they don't have the same kind of financial backing. They have the fan ownership model, so they don't have the same Saudi Arabian owners or anything like that. So German teams will always be looking for bargains, and perhaps English teenagers are the current kind of the trend there at the moment.
And I just want to touch quickly on Jadon Sancho. A lot of people always talk about Jadon Sancho every time there is a transfer window. Not so much this summer, but he's obviously contracted to Borussia Dortmund. There is suggestions that he'd like to return to the Premier League. Is he very much committed to the Bundesliga side, or do you foresee Jadon Sancho returning to the Premier League at some point over the course of the next season or two?
I'd say at the moment he is committed because they are the team, I suppose, that developed him, given an opportunity that he wouldn't have had he stayed at Man City. So I think he kind of appreciates what they have given him. And Borussia Dortmund's sporting director, Michael Zorc, has said that there's no chance they'll sell him regardless of what transfer fee. Even if they were offered 150 million, he said he wouldn't accept it. There's no way that they could sell him. And I suppose with the money they have at the moment and the fact that they keep qualifying for Champions League and they're maybe trying to look at winning the Bundesliga themselves, they'd be very reluctant to sell him. But perhaps in 2 or 3 years, when he's developed more and he might become too big for the club, they might have no other choice than to sell him then.
Ronan, thanks very much for your time, boss.
No problem. Thanks, man.
That was Ronan Murphy, goal journalist and German football expert, talking all about Leroy Sané and the fact that he does think that deal is going to eventually get over the line. A perfect fit, you would think, for Bayern Munich, Leroy Sané today. Another quick score update. Middlesbrough have equalised at Kenilworth Road. A real howler in the goalkeeping department there. It's Luton 2, Middlesbrough 2. Plenty more transfer chat coming up after this.
Love Sport.
Love Sport and the transfer rumour mill. Me, Matt Beadle, here through to 9 p.m. this evening. Right, next up, we're going to be talking a bit about Liverpool and the fact that we didn't think they were going to be in the market this season. Jurgen Klopp has repeatedly come out and said that they're not prepared to spend the big bucks like the other clubs. Philippe Coutinho at £120 million is absolutely not on their radar. He's used the term fantasy land for some of the fees that have been banded around so far this summer. They are apparently chasing Bordeaux and Guinea forward Francois Camano for £20 million. And we are hearing today as well that Dejan Lovren is a target for Roma. The Italian club think they can get Lovren for around £11 million, £12 million. It'll be very interesting to see whether that one comes up. Just going back to Paulo Dybala and Manchester United, quite interestingly, the developments in this one are that Paulo Dybala has said no to Manchester United. He doesn't want to go to United because he doesn't feel like they are the right fit for him. He doesn't think that United will play to his attacking strengths. Obviously, we know that Anthony Martial is there, Marcus Rashford is there, Alexis Sanchez is due to come back as well. So as things stand, Paulo Dybala not going to Manchester United because he doesn't feel like they are a good fit for him. And you do think that this whole transfer situation was almost crowbarred in. United quite keen to get Romelu Lukaku out the door, be that at Inter, be that at Juve. But it seems like Dybala was just thrown in as a bit of a make weight. Yeah, go on, tell you what, you can have him if we can have Romelu Lukaku. That one looks like it's going to rumble on until the end of the transfer window. But we've got Jay Riley on the line now of the Liverpool Echo and LFC TV. Jay, just a quick one on Dejan Lovren, a target for Roma. The Italian club think they can get him for around 11, 12 million. Is that something that Liverpool fans are kind of resigned to now with Lovren leaving?
Hey, I'm not too sure because it's late in the window, isn't it? And even though he's probably fourth choice at Anfield, it'd still be a little bit of a gamble to let him go because what you've got to consider is we'd have to promote a young kid then, one of the Van der Berg, the signing from the summer that we made, or maybe, yeah, Hoover, the other Dutch lad as well. So I'm not sure whether Liverpool will allow him to go. But because he's fourth choice, maybe he'll want to move on because to get a move to Roma or somewhere like AC Milan, I mean, it's probably a good move for the player, if anything else, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the good thing about Dejan Lovren is his confidence, right? He's kind of always felt like he is the number one centre back in the world. I think getting to the World Cup final just inflated that ego slightly. But then if you're going to play at the top level of football in the Premier League, in the world, you kind of need to have that arrogance, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And to be fair to him, he's not a bad centre half, but he does make a few mistakes every now and then. And he does find himself down the pecking order a little bit after last season because obviously Liverpool went on to win the European Cup and the old Matip played centre-half alongside Virgil van Dijk. And before that, earlier on in the season, Joe Gomez played centre-half as well. So I think when you analyse it, He's fourth choice now at Liverpool, and if he can get a big move to an Italian team, then maybe he would want to move on. But, you know, I still think it's doubtful that we'd let him go so late into the window, but we'll see. I'm sure it'll rumble on.
Just speaking of centre-halves, I'm quite interested to get your thoughts on this. The fact that Man United look like they've agreed that £80 million deal today. You guys paid £75 million for Virgil van Dijk at the time. Everybody thought, crikey, that is a lot of money to spend on a centre-back, especially one who was at Southampton. We all knew that he was a good player. I think he went to Liverpool and just went up a notch and became an absolutely brilliant player. Would you, I mean, I'm sure you're not too bothered about what United fans think, but would you say that it's worth spending that money, or do you think it's far too much to be spending £80 million on a player like Harry Maguire?
I think it's a lot of money really to spend, isn't it? But what you've got to analyse is the fact that Manchester United were desperate to sign a centre-half. He just had an injury as well to Eric Bailey, haven't he? He was going to be out for 4 or 5 months of the new season. So they've become desperate, really, hadn't they? And, you know, the likes of Phil Jones and Chris Smalling have been at the club for such a long time now, and they needed something to mix it up with. And I think Harry Maguire, he's a good centre-half, but I think what you've got to also realise is English players are overinflated in terms of price, aren't they? And I know, like, Virgil van Dijk is not English, but, you know, £75 million did seem a lot of money when Liverpool paid it. But, you know, he's obviously a fantastic centre-half, got Player of the Year last season, could very well be European Football of the Year, win the European Cup. He's been outstanding for Liverpool, and I think that's what Manchester United are probably hoping for, that he can try and be a little bit like Virgil van Dijk. But I do think they're a little bit different. I think what you've got to think about is Virgil van Dijk's, like, very quick. Harry Maguire, to me, seems quite sluggish, quite slow. I think his positional sense is really good, and he intercepts the ball quite well, but to me, I think it's a lot of money, but, you know, Man United can afford it, can't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing when you talk about transfer fees now. I do think that the market is just ridiculous. You can't really call what is a good transfer fee, what is a bad transfer fee. Idriss Gueye's gone to PSG for 28, 29 million. You think in the current climate with what's been spent on other players, it should be a hell of a lot more. But another player getting off United, because you are a Liverpool fan, Francois Camano has come out today. There are rumours that apparently Liverpool are in the market for the Bordeaux frontman.
Yeah, I heard about that earlier on in the week, and I mean, it's an interesting one because it's not a name that I really knew much about, and I think he scored 10 goals last season in the French League, and it's meant to be quite good. But to be honest, I think it'd be a bit of a surprise if Liverpool did go for him. I think it's more about the link is because he's meant to be quite cheap, and he could be available for Liverpool to sign, but I'm just not sure Liverpool do any business now, because the way Jurgen Klopp is, he's normally very meticulous with the players that he signs, and it's very rare Liverpool sign a player late into the window. I think the only player Liverpool have signed in any transfer window late into it is being Oxlade-Chamberlain, but we did chase him all summer, and eventually Arsenal gave in and Liverpool signed him. With something like this now, I'm just not sure it'd be something that Liverpool will do. I mean, there has been talk Liverpool will sign someone before the deadline, but I just have my doubts that we will do now.
Yeah, I think you're bang on there. Panic buying doesn't seem to be in Liverpool's remit at the moment. Seems to have a very specific strategy. Everything that goes on behind the scenes with analytics and making sure you've got the right players. Andrew Robertson, of course, I think, you know, you were looking at him for 10 months before you actually made the call to sign him. So I'm with you on this one, Jayad. I think there won't be any more incomings to Liverpool. Perhaps outgoings, we don't know. Harry Wilson, we discussed last week, of course, but he scored a great goal in pre-season. So do you think now, going towards that first game of the season, all is well at Liverpool, no one in, no one out?
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, you've got to analyse the fact that Liverpool, he likes to have everything settled, and people, you get some fans' knee-jerk reactions where you see some of the rivals buying players, but what you've got to realise is these other clubs trying to play catch-up at Liverpool. Manchester City have made one sign and Rodri, but, you know, it was a lot of money what they paid for them, but they're the type of club that can pay that type of money for someone to arguably sit on the bench for half the season. Liverpool are just not simply, we just simply can't afford to do them type of things, can we? And Liverpool, he likes everything to be in-house, and he's very meticulous, as I say, in the players that he brings to the club. He won't need Jake with anything like that. You're seeing that the way he waited for Virgil van Dijk to get him in the January time. He waited for a whole 12 months for Naby Keita as well. He just doesn't need Jake when it comes to signings, and he won't listen to someone on social media who's saying, oh, we need new players because Arsenal are signing Pepe, You know, City signed Rodri, Tottenham have signed Ndombele, Manchester United signed Harry Maguire. Jurgen Klopp's happy with the squad and the group of players that won a European Cup and got 97 points last season. So who are we to judge? Leave the man to get on with his job.
Absolutely top stuff. Well said, Jay. Thanks for coming on again, boss.
Okay, no problem.
That was Jay Riley of the Liverpool Echo and LFC TV commenting on Liverpool's transfer strategy and the fact that Dejan Lovren might be moving over to Roma. They're in for about 11, 12 million for the Liverpool centre-back. And I'm happy to say we now have Rich Hall on the line, chief correspondent at Football Italia. Rich, Dejan Lovren, will he be on his way to Roma?
Evening, gents. Possibly. It looks so. I mean, Fonseca, since he came into Roma, you know, he's been quite quiet about Roma's needs. And that's quite an important thing because with Pelotta in charge of owning Roma, James Pelotta, the American owner, there's been some ruptures in recent years about just how much money he's going to spend. They can't spend a huge amount in comparison to the teams that they are. When we look at the likes of Juventus and what they've spent this summer, Inter especially, very interestingly, and Napoli as well, Roma really have to keep competing. Now, they sold Manolas, of course, their main centre-back, for 30-plus million to Napoli, so they have to replace him. And Lovren looks like he's almost a cheap option to go. So all the Italian media almost... It's not big news, let's be honest. It's one of those things that people are just accepting he will go across. But it's Fonseca, the only thing he has said is that he needs a centre-back. And this looks like it could be him.
Good stuff. Well, this isn't particularly big news, like you're saying. What is big news is the ongoing saga regarding Romelu Lukaku and Paulo Dybala. We've heard today that Dybala has apparently said no to Man United. He doesn't feel like he fits into their attacking plans. He wants to stay at Juve or perhaps move elsewhere. It feels to me, Rich, that the Dybala to United deal has almost been crowbarred in. I kind of feel like United don't particularly want him, and I definitely feel like, especially after these comments, that Paulo Dybala doesn't really want to go to United, which would then counteract everything that United are trying to do in this transfer window.
That's a really good point. And I also would add to that do Juventus need Romelu Lukaku? It's come out of nowhere. I mean, Fabio Patrici, and Paolo Nedved, the two men had, forget the Agnellis for a second, the guys who almost orchestrated Allegri's departure from Juventus. You know, they're the guys in charge of the recruitment now, and they've got a big influence. They said that, okay, you know, Lukaku isn't something you just, you're not a player you just bring in. But 20 days ago, this wasn't even a thought. Antonio Conte at Inter, Beppe Marotta at Inter, they're the ones who've been pushing for Lukaku. Now, there's a much, much bigger story around this, and it's huge in the sense of Mauro Riccardi. It all comes down to this. Mauro Riccardi, obviously Inter and the Sunin group don't want him there. That's a fact. Antonio Conte's coming to to Inter, and he's been told straight away, he's not a player we want. Inter needs to get a lot of players off the books for financial fair play. They're in a good situation. So people like even Perisic, Roger Niangalan, and Mauro Riccardi, the first guys off the books. Now, Mauro Riccardi is probably one of the best strikers in Europe, especially in that sort of old school number nine role. And Juventus think, hold on a second, we can potentially get him on the cheap. The Italian media are always, how should we put it, full of conspiracy theories. And I've always thought that, because Inter have been tracking that replacement, Romelu Lukaku, that if they try and hijack that deal, that Inter will sell Icardi to Juventus on the cheap so they can pull Lukaku back into it. Now, that's just the Italian media situation. The reality of it is that Lukaku has been orchestrating this deal to go to Italy and away from United all summer. Inter doesn't want him. Beppe Marotta, the Inter sporting director, has said, listen, we've put our best offer on the table. So it's all quite political at the moment. Now, your point about Paulo Dybala is a really interesting one because, as I said before, Beppe Marotta, the ex-Juventus sporting director, now at Inter, knows Dybala. And he's saying, listen, don't go to United, you know, come to Inter. And we can almost do that swap deal. So, as I said before, it all depends around Paulo Dybala. The interesting thing is, and this is the big thing I would say to United fans, Paulo Dybala, he's a number 10. He's on a lot of money. He wants a squad you know, he wants a team to be formed around him. He's a big time, big game player. But that's Pogba only a year ago.
Absolutely.
What's the difference almost?
It's staggering, isn't it? And what you say about the political nature of all of this, which we're not surprised to hear about in Serie A, let's be honest. The fact that it's this merry-go-round, isn't it? And it feels like we're all waiting for that one deal to be made, and then it's just going to snowball and everything's going to go insane.
Yeah, absolutely that. Because just to add on to that, so just some of the sort of side stories on that. Inter have been after Edin Dzeko. Because Conte's come in and he's even got through the Inter youth system. Look, we're all going to play 3-5-2 or the equivalent, should we say. It's about that brand of football. So who wants that big striker up front who can hold the ball up? Edin Dzeko, Romelu Lukaku. Now, Roma are playing hardball, as I mentioned before. They've not got a great deal of money. Now, for instance, they also want Gonzalo Higuain being at Juventus. So you can see the links here, and you are right, that once one goes, everything could fall into place. Even to the point where Inter have been looking at Edinson Cavani from Paris Saint-Germain, they're panicking a little bit now because they've got a situation where they don't look like they're going to get Lukaku. They don't look like they're going to get Cavani at the moment. Because, I mean, realistically, Edinson Cavani is 32 years old, I think. Edin Dzeko is 33. And the transfer fees... You're talking €75 million for the two have been held out. Would you pay that? It's crazy. There's so much interlinked with this as well. That also Gonzalo Higuain is now wanted by Roma. I mean, it's a soap opera. I mean, I'm getting confused talking about it now. But once one goes, you can see that everything will go into place. But Serie A, before the end of the transfer window, I mean, it's going to be pretty crazy.
It is why we love doing this show, Rich. I have to say, the Rumour Mill show has its name for a reason, because we try and debunk, prove whatever these transfer rumours. And the other issue here as well, and this is the case, especially with the Lukaku-Dybala deal, is that the transfer windows don't meet, right? So Serie A goes on slightly longer than the Premier League. So even if Juve still want to get Lukaku, they're really stumped, because then they can't offer anything in return because no one can come to the Premier League after the 8th of August.
No, and this is, I'll tell you another interesting thing about this is look at the deal for Moise Kean to Everton. Moise Kean, probably one of the most attractive young forwards in Europe, in my opinion. And what Everton have got in that deal is amazing. I mean, Juve, don't get me wrong, Juventus have got a great deal with this because he had 1 year left in his contract and €40 million. Wow, that's incredible for a year left on there. Everton have got a great deal with it. Ironically, it's like when they got Lukaku from Chelsea, because it's that sort of same sort of deal. The players are completely not the same, let me say that. But Moise Kean at the moment, you can tell that Juventus are wanting to win now. They need to, Maurizio Sarri going into Juventus is massive. It's such a step change for them. From Allegri, they need to win the Champions League, the Serie A, and the Serie A and the Coppa Italia. They have to do that anyway. So that sale of Moise Kean is massive, because what it shows is that Juventus are saying, no, we can't mentor this guy. We can't foresee his very bright future for the next 5 years. We need strikers who can do it now. Hence a Lukaku deal. Hence the Icardi links. Those are the sort of players they want. So, yeah, the transfer window is crazy, because you can see that almost all the groundwork is in place, but those final pieces aren't breaking yet. So, you know, it's going to be such a fun ride to the end. But I think that whether it's... you look at Napoli missing out on James Rodriguez and Nicolas Pepe. Someone's going to really miss out in Serie A. And like you said, there's not a lot of time to go.
Absolutely. And speaking of Moise Kean and people missing out as well, or perhaps not really missing out, deciding not to take up the option, we have heard today that apparently Man United rejected the chance to sign Moise Kean. Is that news that you'd heard before?
There's been a few different rumours about that, in the sense of, I mean, I think Tutto Sport are probably the Turin-based paper, are probably the obviously with Juventus and Torino, always come out with more of those. And interestingly, they've not been too talked to about Manchester United, but they were more talking about Arsenal, in the sense that Arsenal offered, and this is according, of course, to Tutto Sport and Turin-based, as I said, the fact of signing Moise Kean. But he apparently has rejected that because he, again, wanted the team to be built around him, wanted to play a lot of games, and thought that Everton would be the better deal. I mean, it does show the strength and power of the Premiership at the moment that a player like that, you know, can dictate a price like that from a team that's not in the Champions League, should we say. So, you know, I mean, that was the main point from there. But, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he'd been offered to Manchester United and a lot of others because, as I mentioned before, this was a player in the last year of his contract that they could have got off for a good price. But, you know, listen, I still think Everton have got probably one of the most promising strikers, younger strikers in Europe, for, I would say, an absolute steal at the moment.
Absolutely, Rich Hall. Thank you very much for coming on. Great listening to you. Some fascinating insight there from Serie A. That was Rich Hall, Football Italia chief correspondent there. Really, really interesting stuff on Serie A and the merry-go-round that we're set to see just, what, a few days left or a week or so of this transfer window. The English one shuts on August the 8th. The Serie A window continues for a little bit. The Bundesliga window goes for another month. But remember, all those clubs looking to do business with English clubs can't involve other players because no other player can come in to the Premier League from August the 8th. Right after this, it's Spurs.
Love Sport.
And this is the Transfer Rumour Mill with me, Matt Beadle, on Love Sport Radio. We've got about 6 or 7 minutes left and we're going to discuss all things Spurs because we've seen Tongi and Ndombele come in to Spurs this summer, but no other major signing yet. Bruno Fernandes is being talked up. Giovanni Lo Celso is being talked up. Ryan Sessegnon has been talked up for a long time. On the line now to discuss all of those moves is sports journalist Sammy Parker. Sammy, Bruno Fernandes has apparently left Portugal. He's left Lisbon. He's on his way to England to tie up a deal. No one knows who's it to. Is it United? Is it Spurs? What do you think?
It's a difficult one, I think, with Fernandes. I don't think he's the first choice. I think Lo Celso is Pochettino's choice. He wants him. But I think Fernandes is there as a secondary option. Whether Daniel Levy can't get the price down enough for Lo Celso, which seems to be the case for the majority of this window. But yeah, I think Fernandes could be sort of more of a last-minute deal with the Lo Celso one. We can't get a deal agreed.
The problem here is, and we've just had this conversation with Rich Hall of Football Italia, is that if Spurs happen to lose Christian Eriksen after the transfer window closes, because that's a distinct possibility that Eriksen might move on because other nations have a slightly extended transfer window, this one shuts on August the 8th. So if Eriksen decides to move after August the 8th, Spurs are up the creek without a paddle. So they need a player ahead of that deadline to cover for the potential notion that Eriksen might move on?
See, I think that the targets that we want to achieve this season, we need Eriksen and one of Fernandes and Lo Celso. If Eriksen moves on, personally, I think that Spurs would need both Lo Celso and Fernandes to sort of fill that void because Eriksen is such a key player in that team. But, I mean, it's difficult to say. I think that Fernandes is,
I mean, he's a decent midfielder. This is a guy who scored 30 plus goals for Sporting Lisbon last season, first guy to ever do that in Primeira Liga. He's quite clearly got the talent. He quite clearly is hungry to move to the Premier League. And I think that's a key thing here, Sammy, is that Bruno Fernandes seemingly wants that move. We saw him crying after their recent clash in the sense that he wanted to, because he thought it was his last game. He wants to move to the Premier League. And I think it's so key that we have these hungry players. And for the likes of Spurs and United, that it's a great move.
Yeah, I agree. I think Fernandes seems like the player who can force a move. So yeah, if he wants to come to England, I think he's going to do as much as he can over in Portugal to make sure that move goes through. Again, I think another reason why the Lo Celso transfer is difficult is that he probably will not do that. He's gone back. He started first team training again with Betis. So it's going to be one of them. It's Lo Celso deal only happens, I think, if Levy will cough up the money. But I think Fernandes may be a bit of a cut price if the player decides he wants to sort of force a transfer.
Well, this is it. And you say about coughing up the money, Batista holding out for around 88 million, which is his release clause. 20% of that will go to PSG as part of the deal. Spurs have never, well, we've never spent that kind of money. We've seen United part with £80 million for Harry Maguire, or they're due to part £80 million should that all go ahead. Where are you at with Daniel Levy here? And obviously, he runs a very tight ship at Spurs. It's been hugely successful, both for incomings and outgoings. But are you at the case now where you just think, you know what? Pay the money. Pay the money for these big, big players.
Do you know what? I'm a big fan of Levy. I think the way sort of the last 5 years, especially since Pochettino's come in, them to have worked together, they've changed the whole perception of the club, where we're at, where our targets are. But he's...
Okay, I think we've just lost Sammy. There he is off the lines. That was Sammy Parker, sports journalist at University Campus of Football Business. Dodgy line there from Sammy, but he does think that Giovanni Lo Celso, and Bruno Fernandes may come to Spurs after that, or before that transfer deadline is over. We're just going to give you a quick update on the score in the Championship. It's still Luton 2, Middlesbrough 2. An absolute howler from Simon Sluger, making his debut for Luton today. Britta Sombalonga's goal going in. And just some transfer news from today. Alan Saint-Maximin has moved from Nice to Newcastle. Ollie McBurnie, we know, has now gone to Sheffield United from Swansea. The move of Harry Maguire, £80 million to Manchester United, looks like that is very nearly over the line. And Tom Heaton, of course, coming in to Aston Villa. That is a 12th signing for Aston Villa, in excess of around £130 million spent in this summer. Will those players integrate at Villa Park? Will they be welcomed in a dressing room where they didn't gain promotion? It was obviously an old batch of players. We've seen a lot of outgoings at Aston Villa this summer and a whole load of incomings. Very interesting to see whether those moves gel. We'll have more of this in our next Transfer Rumour Mill show, but next it is the Millwall Fan Show.
This is Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.